So hello and welcome to another Autobrite podcast. So today we are talking about, we're talking about back to basics. Two, we're also talking about our one-to-one tuition as well. So for that end, I've got Clivey P with me in the left-hand seat over here.
Hello, folks.
And I've also got Marky P with me in the right-hand seat.
Kevin P in the middle.
Thank you, Kevin P.
Kevin P in the middle.
Yeah.
Three P's. Not in a pod.
No.
Not in a pod together.
The P of tears.
Yeah. So we back to basics then, Clive.
So
2024.
So back to basics now, about year 12, I think, actually, Kev. Mm-hmm. Something like that. About year 12. And I think well over 1,200 people done the back to basics now. So this year we are doing something a little bit different, aren't we, Kev?
We've changed the way we're running it a little bit.
The way we're running it, and also the people I'm going to be doing the course with. Mm-hmm. So I've done the course since the year dot and intend doing it for many more years yet. My hobby gone mad, as I call it. But this year we're going to be doing it with, rather than doing it with yourself each time, Kev, I'm going to be doing it with some of the trainers here.
Various other members of staff. So we've got
guest trainers.
Yeah.
They're like smelly trains.
But better.
Trains you should throw out because they're not comfortable anymore. So we've got the other some of the other guys helping Clive out as well. So you've got Mark, we've also got Nate as well. Ryan.
I'm Ryan, yeah.
That's the three, I think.
Yeah, so
between the three of us, we're gonna share it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do one a month, as we've always done.
Yep.
Basically, we run through from March till October, don't we?
Weather dependent as well, doesn't it? Depending on when we start and when we finish normally.
Yeah. Generally, the middle of the month. As we're recording this, there's just the March date up at this moment in time, which is pretty full. And then we're going to obviously start advertising the other courses so people can book. Like I say, the dates aren't up yet, but middle of the month, generally speaking.
Yep.
And like you say, Kev, we've changed the format a little bit, but it's still a good tried and tested format. And if you don't know, we've got loads of good feedback on the course, got tons of it, basically. And it's a good intro day for people that want to get into car detailing or brush their skills up or just want to do valeting. We've had people that have gone and done it multiple times. Yeah, I think four's the record.
Yep.
And then all become pro detailers and change their career and things like that. But we'll talk about the other training in a bit, basically.
Yep. Yeah, so people use it as, they can use it as just something to do. So if you're interested in detailing, as a hobby, it's an easy course to get into. It's really friendly. It's a fun course to do. And it's extremely good value for money, only £60.
Yeah, all done in one day.
All done
on
in
a Saturday, because
that's
when most of us are not working in the week. Mm-hmm. And it's broadly 9 o'clock through till four, isn't it, give or take? We stop briefly in the day. We spend the morning kind of doing all the wet stuff, all the pre-preparation and decontamination without giving all the course content away. Well, you can have a look online and see all that anyway. Mm-hmm. But we do all the wet stuff, and then that usually brings us to around about lunchtime. We bring the cars indoors, do an introduction to machine polishing, and everyone gets a chance to have a go at everything. It's very hands-on, and if you're not doing it, we'll tell you to get on with it, because that's what you're here to do, basically. Even if it's raining, you just have to live with it and go for it. And then, let's say we do introduction to machine polishing, and we even cover waxes, sealants, and all those things that people often get a bit confused towards the end of the day, basically, don't we, Kev?
Yep. So again, like I said, a lot of people come and done the course basically as, just an event, something to come and do, share a day with some like-minded individuals. We do also have a lot of our members of staff that come and do the course.
Yep.
So even people who aren't necessarily directly involved with the detailing department will actually come on and do a back to basics course as well, just to give them a general understanding of the products and the techniques and how things work.
Yeah, because as the name suggests, Kev, all the products we tend to use are the most common products you're likely to use.
So they're the core
products. If you clean your car weekly, they're the ones you're most likely to use, aren't they, basically?
Yeah. So, Mark, did you do a back to basics?
I don't think I ever have, no.
No?
No. The first time I came up here was 2019. Well, it wasn't here, it was at Festival Park.
Well, I mean, leading on to, obviously, the other training that we're going to talk about. So you did come for one-to-one training, didn't
you? I did, with yourself, back in 2019. I did a one day of one-to-one training. I think we just covered machine polishing. And then I also did my approval at the time as well, because I was setting up my own business. So Yes, I am the only member of the Autobrat team that is actually approved. And I have the certificates to prove it as well. So
keep that on the down low, eh?
Yeah. So, yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, looking forward to just having a group instead of the one-to-one training. So mm-hmm. it should be a different experience.
So, I mean, obviously, you have done small group training before, haven't we? So, like, 2 to 3 people?
Yeah. Yeah, so we've done that before, but mm-hmm. nothing, I've never done the back to basics.
Quite as big.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this is something that we're, you know, we're sort of filling Mark on for the first time at the minute. So
learning as we go.
Normally in the afternoon, when we move through to the machine polishing, we normally divide the attendees up into two anyway.
Yeah.
So you only end up with sort of like half a course essentially. Yeah. And obviously the attendees are allowed to move between the vehicles and look at the different types of machines and stuff that we're using. But in terms of what we cover on the back to basics compared to what we cover obviously on the one to one, what would you say that are the main sort of big differences that people come on a one to one course for over and above what we cover on the back to basics?
I think it's more with the one to one courses, it's more focused on the machine polishing side of things. Mm-hmm. We can go a lot more in depth.
Yeah,
we can cover more stages of polishing. So if we're doing heavier cut or refinement cuts, or maybe even like working on kind of headlight restoration, mm-hmm. so we can cover more in-depth areas, and we can also kind of spend a bit more time with the exterior side of things as well. So we can cover things like engine bay cleaning, mm-hmm. And how to kind of deep clean arches, etc. Sure. So we, with the one-to-one courses, we can just spend a little bit more time and just go a little bit more in depth. And just cover sort of more areas and spend more time on them, really.
I presume, Mark, as well, if people want to concentrate on a particular thing, you can do that on a one-to-one as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people come for, if they want to just do a single day, then they either come for kind of the wet work side of things and how to get the vehicle ready for polishing.
Right,
or
yeah.
they concentrate mainly on the polishing side of things sure. and then coating as well.
Yeah.
But we do a two-day course and a three-day course as well, so obviously the more days you do, the more things we can cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on what the individual wants to learn, really.
Yeah, sure. If they're going to come approved, how long do they typically spend on that? Because obviously I'm very familiar with the back to basics, but I'm not so familiar with all the days they do in terms of the approval
the
program
approval
and things like that. How does that work?
Well, the approval side of things is mainly it's mainly sort of a skills test.
Right.
Just to sort of see what level somebody's at.
Sure.
Obviously wanting to move on and do it professionally.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of pass or fail with it, really. It's just, you know, it's helpful. We give advice, but we just want to see that somebody can go out there and you know, do a good job and a safe job.
Sure.
And then obviously that leads on to them being recommended by us. So if people want to search for a detailer or valeter in their area, they can do so on the website.
Okay.
And it kind of gives them a little bit of a springboard
sure.
to help them start off, really.
Yeah, good.
And I think years ago when we were sort of first launched the approval, I think one of the main reasons was we found out or we heard off a lot of other people that certain people would be approved by a company via like online or by post or whatever.
Right, yeah.
So we always said that we wanted our approval to be a skills-based process where you had to actually turn up in person.
Sure.
Just so we can meet them and you can get an idea of the type of person that they are. And like Mark says, the main goal really for the approval is to ensure that people are working in a safe manner.
Sure.
So that they know how to handle the chemicals, they know how to, you know, what safe techniques to use. But it's also as well to make sure that they're going to interact with the customer.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to provide good customer service, because at the end of the day, obviously, if they're approved by us, they're also carrying our name when they go out trading and, you know, and dealing with the public.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the approval... It used to be really, really popular, didn't it? We had a spate where we were approving quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then I think, obviously, as those approved people have sort of got bigger and sort of branched out, we then tend to get people coming from... We've got quite a few people coming from, like, closer field, haven't we?
Yeah. I've found there's a lot of people that are more local now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like you say before, we were doing a lot of people that were...
Further afield.
Further north, further south, kind of, you know, into Wales, etc. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's there, and if somebody's doing well on their own as a business, then do you know what? to crack on. Mm-hmm. You know, all that, you know, if you're finding your feet and you're getting your recommendations through other sources, and you know, then that's, you know, that's absolutely fine. And that may be the case, you know, yeah. That might be the case why we've not seen so many people coming for an approval.
Well, yeah. I guess you get people asking, they want to learn, I don't know, how to refine something, as in, I don't mean necessarily just machine refining. They think, I've never really done engine bays properly or things mm-hmm. like that, and they yeah. just want to add that skill to their repertoire.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we have had quite a few people in the past that have come and done, so, that, you know, they've come and done back to basics, yeah. then they've come back and done a couple of days one-to-one training, then they've gone and set up a business, and then they've then come back maybe 18 months down the line and gone, can you show me a little bit more on this area,
yeah,
a little bit more on that area. So yeah. again, like you
could
say,
be ceramics,
maybe ceramic yeah. coatings, yeah. headlight restorations, engine bays,
sure.
Wet sandings, quite a popular one we get asked for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's dropped off a little bit, but I mean, it's something that we can certainly go through the processes of, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I've had a little bit more experience in it now myself, and obviously, you're always here as well, and you've got, you know,
I'm always here.
You've got a vast amount of knowledge.
I think like you were saying though about actually physically being present as well, mm-hmm. you know, the thought of being qualified in doing something that's practical online just doesn't quite compute properly.
No, and I think we assume that, especially during sort of lockdown, during COVID, I think we assumed that maybe the training was going to take a dive because a lot of people have been sat at home.
Yeah.
A lot of people were creating content online aimed at showing people how to detail and sure. how to machine polish and stuff. So we assumed that it might take a bit of a dive, and obviously during COVID everything did. Yeah. But once everything was sort of getting back to normal, we still had people inquiring, didn't we, about coming up for one-to-one yeah. training.
The amount of people
not long afterwards.
Yeah, the amount of people that we trained sort of 6 months after the main outbreak of COVID was immense. People that had been left out of work from industries that had shut down and jobs that were not as popular anymore. You know, they'd gone from having a full-time job to just a part-time job. And there was a lot of people that turned kind of a hobby and a keen interest and turned it into a job. And it was great to be able to help these people and sort of send them on the way. And as far as I'm aware, the majority of the people that we actually dealt with are still going in some form, yeah. you know, which, you know, I mean, I don't want to blow our own trumpets, but it's a credit to them for taking it on. But it's kind of, you know, a little bit down to us as well for yeah. kind of showing them the way and, sure. and giving that advice as well. So it's a joint effort.
I think that a lot of people think that, you know, if I watch, I can watch 3 or 4 hours of someone machine polishing online and you still don't get the sense of what it's like to hold that machine and how you keep it flat and
sure.
add or remove pressure depending on what you're trying to achieve.
Sure.
So I think machine polishing is always going to be one of them things where you don't actually get a sense of it until you've actually picked up a polisher and done it.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the back to basics has always been so popular. Yeah,
you can't.
A lot of people come purely for that introduction
sure.
to machine polishing, really.
You know, just simple things like the amount of down pressure you put mm-hmm. on the machine. If there's nobody there watching you if you're just doing it on YouTube, is there? You know, maybe an unfair comparison, but the thought of jumping on an airliner and saying this pilot learnt by watching YouTube videos does scare me to death, really.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, it's practical at the end of the day, isn't it? You know, yeah. that's the thing. So I think, and the world's changed certainly since I was younger, but you know, one-to-one or practical with other people is normally the best way of learning. That's why we go to school.
Yeah. Et cetera. Yeah. I mean, I think you're always going to have that, you know, it's always better to have that physical connection with somebody where you can actually ask them questions and get instant feedback and stuff.
Sure.
Whereas if you think, okay, I'm going to watch that video. Yeah, I can do that. I'll go out and buy a machine. I'll buy myself some compounds. And then you then go and try it, and you actually think, actually, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Straight away, all that does then is dishearten you, and you're like, I'm either doing something wrong, or, you know.
And the price of getting it badly wrong is a lot more than doing a bit of training.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so understand why people, why I wouldn't do anything except do one-to-one or a group or whatever, practical, basically.
I mean, I think the wash process and like we say the wet work,
yeah,
it's pretty simple, really.
Yeah,
you've only got to have a little bit of common sense and, you know, make sure you're using the right product for the right area. But the machine polishing work is where the risk is, and
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so that's why people are more focused and more willing to come and do, you know,
sure.
in person training. I think
sure, sure,
and like you say, because there's always that extra risk.
Yeah, sure. But you know what, Kev? You'll know this from all the years you've helped with the Back to Basics. Is I'm always in... I like it in the morning when we're doing the wet part of it, where people... They've often come because they want to do the machine polishing, and they think pretty much correctly. They know what they're doing on the washing, mm-hmm. but their eyes still lighten up when they see things like, look how much muck the citrus wash removed, and mm-hmm. look, you know what I mean? And things that they probably weren't doing properly or thoroughly. Yeah. And then some of the coatings that we put on just to show them what they can do. And they're thrilled before we've even got it inside to start doing a bit of machining.
Yeah, I think, you know, when people sort of realise the difference that can be made without, like I say, actually adding any physical polish or waxes or sealant strains like that,
sure.
just a good clean and decontamination can actually make a difference.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people shortcut those until they actually come and do the course or... You know, they've watched one small video and not, you know.
Yeah. You know. I mean, the other thing as well is, again, you know, when you watch videos online, everybody has got their own way of doing things.
True.
And although, I mean, something we say quite often, isn't it, Mark, when we're doing training, everyone's got their own way of doing things.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter how you do it as long as the end result's the same and you're not risking inflicting any damage or, you know, anything to the sort of
saying
the paint
coming up with it. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Indeed, there is.
Very old saying, but
because you're very old.
Very true.
Really.
Although we're not recommended to skin any cats.
No, please do not.
Please don't skin any cats. Yes, I like cats. So yeah, I mean, like we say, we're not saying, you know, when we do training with people, we're not saying that our way is the only way to do it. What we're saying is it's a way that we've been using for years. We've always found it to work. It's easy to follow. So
after
if you then go away and find, you know, well, actually, I've found this way of doing things that works in a similar way, or I can work a little bit faster, then, you know,
I mean,
as long as the results are the same.
Like Clive's mentioned, you've done the course for getting on for 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And people have gone away and done various things with it. And so, I mean, for 12 years of doing 9-10 courses a year and obviously doing something right, we must be teaching the way that, you know, has been taught must do something.
Oh yeah, definitely. So it's a work, you know, it's a working system,
you know. So it speaks for itself, really, which is good.
What's interesting is that although fundamentally it stayed the same, we tweak things, because like with your training, you'll learn new things anyway, mm-hmm. won't you, because you're developing things and what have you, and we have the luxury of new products and things like that have come along, that
new products, you know, come out. I mean, even sometimes like new techniques will come out.
Yeah.
And even if it's not something that, I mean, I don't know if obviously Mark does this when you're doing one-to-ones, but a lot of the time I would explain to somebody if I'd seen something. So if I'd seen a technique or I'd seen, you know, a way of combining a couple of products at the same time to save time or whatever, I'd always explain that and say, that's not the way I'm going to show you, because we're showing you each individual product and how it works and what it does. Yeah. But there are ways of shortcutting, saving time.
And there's lots of little nuances, Kev, that, you know, I admit, whilst I might have started long before you, that I've still, you know more than I do on nuances nowadays. Because often on the course, Mark, somebody will ask something and it will just be unusual. You know, I might not have played around with that particular combination. And they're the things that are developed, you know, I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But, you know, just something that's an unusual. I've got this sort of paint finish and I've got this and this. And what do I do here and things like
that. Yeah, well, the industry is always evolving, isn't it? So even, you know, cars in general. I mean, obviously, you know, sitting between the two, obviously, me and Clive have always said to people about German paint being hard and Japanese paint being soft, you know, and different brands of paint behaving in different ways. Obviously, Mark sitting this side, and Mark will know now that hard paint, what used to be classed as hard paint, isn't hard anymore, is it, Mark?
It's changed, isn't it?
It's soft.
Yeah, things are changing. The industry's, you know, the car industry's changing.
Penny pinching.
Yeah, there's money saving, there's weight saving, there's material shortages, there's
environmental changes.
True. You know, and basically what we're doing is we're adapting to suit what the car companies are doing. You know, and for that
playing
reason,
playing catch up basically.
Yeah, for that reason, the industry's always going to evolve and change, and techniques are going to evolve and change as the products do, as the paint changes, as, you know, I mean, in sort of 20, 30 years' time, I think they want all of us to be driving around in electric vehicles and electric.
In 20, 30 years' time, they don't want us to be driving at all.
Or even hydrogen, you know, things like engine bay cleaning. It's going to drop off because you can't clean an electric engine bay, really, because It's all electric and wires.
You gotta be careful around the, you know, the high voltage cables and stuff.
You know, just by doing that, you know, electric cars don't seem to produce as much brake dust because obviously they have regenerative braking where the brakes are
so you're not
slow.
Actually stamping on the brakes.
So brake dust is changing, you know, the wheels on car. So things are
things are
evolving and changing and, you know, what works now might not work in 20 or 30 years' time. So,
and, you know, again, I think then that's why it's important to actually, you know, keep up on training and, you know, because obviously, like say, the skills that you need to work in the industry, I think, are constantly evolving. Maybe not to the point where, you know, the whole sort of game changes every couple of years, but certainly every sort of like 5 to 10 years, there's a big shift in techniques or types of finishes or, you know, automotive, industry in general.
20 years ago, you would not see a matte car roll off the production
line. No, that's true.
Matte paint was not a thing 20 years ago.
Shouldn't be a thing now, but anyway.
You know, if you saw a matte car 20 years ago, it was somebody, because somebody was in the middle of having it resprayed.
Sure.
They were just driving
or
around
in primer. Or they'd rattle-canned it themselves.
Or they'd rattle-canned it themselves, yeah. Whereas now, matte paint seems to be a...
We like matte paint, don't we, Mark?
Yeah, matte paint is, you know, it seems to be like, it's a status thing almost, I think, with some people. You know, they have to pay extra to have a we would consider a less of a finish.
A dull-looking car. Sure.
Yeah, you know, but that is, again, individual choice. And again, matte products have, you know, evolved over the years. Not something that we focused on, per se. But then again, if that's what's going to happen in the years to come, it might be something that we focus on more. And
well, again, good example, Mark, shampoos, because all shampoos once upon a time had some gloss enhancers in, didn't they? So for a matte, you obviously
need
some
without.
So, you know, but like matte cars being one of the biggest things. So, but each to their own.
Why don't we like matte cars, Mark?
It's just everything you know as Valeta detailer, as everything that you learn is based on
making shiny
lacquered paint.
Yeah, bling.
It's based on making a car look shiny and removing scratches and swirl marks and applying a coating that increases gloss, makes further washing easier and protecting the work that you've done to a vehicle.
Sure.
Matte paint come along and it negates 75% of the techniques and the processes that you've that you've learned and built upon. And it just kind of flips everything on its head.
Really. The whole principle of sticking a machine on something to make it glossier, isn't it? And get rid of things. So you can't even do that.
You know, matte paint, yes, it looks on the right car, it looks very good. It looks nice. But with regards to machining, polishing, scratch removal, coating, waxing, it just changes the whole game.
It does.
You know, it just makes...
I mean, me personally, apart from the fact, obviously, you're putting a little bit of protection on there, which on a matte finish, you know, is obviously going to help you to prevent water spotting and stuff like that. But I just don't see the point of spending the amount of time that it would take to wax a matte car and not come away with a glossy finish.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
it doesn't fit.
No, it's just like, I feel like I wasted my time.
People that buy matte cars often don't know that when they buy it. They think, oh, this would be easy, you know, it'd be easy to maintain, and you're caught.
That is the way that's the way the marketed it, isn't it? Matte paintwork is marketed as being an easy finish to take care of.
Yeah.
But any stains, bird
etchings. If anything, I think it's not.
Bird etchings, scratches, there's nothing you can do.
It still gets dirty, doesn't it?
Straight to the body shop, I'm afraid.
Still gets dirty, it still gets chipped and dinked and scratched. And
but again, personal choice.
Yeah.
If that's what somebody wants, then you know what? You go for it.
Yeah. There was a Morgan I saw in a matte finish, and it did look quite good, and I thought, but how do you keep that nice? You know, how do you really keep that nice, you know?
It's a lot easier to keep a gloss, you know, a normal finished vehicle looking nice. You've only got to look at classics. So you can have a car from 70s, 80s that still looks good today on the original paint if it's been looked after. You try doing that with a matte finish.
Yeah.
You know, could you see a matte painted car from 1970 or 1980?
Or a barn find.
Still being in good condition now.
You could restore a barn find, can't you?
I mean, to be fair, cars that were from 70s, 80s, they've got that much lead in the paint that they probably wouldn't.
That's true.
They probably wouldn't degrade.
No, they'd be like cockroaches.
Yeah, you know, nuclear war comes and there'll only be lead-painted cars and cockroaches left, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's personal choice. It's whatever, you know, whatever your motoring needs require. But certainly from a detailing, valeting point of view, they're not something... They're not something that we rave after. Yeah. They're not something that we cater for yet. There may be a time when we do.
I mean, we can offer the same services on a matte paint job as we can on a glossy paint job. It's just that your options are more restricted.
They are.
When it comes to, you know, what you can actually recover in terms of the finish on the car, if it's got scratches or defects or anything like that, and what we can add to it for protection.
Well, even basics, Kev, like shampoo, decon shampoo, I guess. Do you know
decon
what I mean?
Shampoo would work fine on matte,
You're not popping purple velvet on it, are you? You know, so...
This is a whole new podcast, the matte car podcast.
There is a slight misunderstanding with things like that. So a shampoo with gloss enhancers will not instantly turn a matte car to gloss.
That's true.
Again, if you spray on a product that is designed to enhance gloss, it's not instantly going to turn it into a shiny car.
No.
The issue you get is you then end up with things like uneven surface finish and streaks and things like that. So if you started spraying on a gloss enhancing product to a matte paint job and you've not sprayed the exact same amount and applied it in the exact same motions, will see streaks in the marks.
If you're coming to back to basics or want to book a one-to-one course, you want advice on matte paint finishes, we will give you as much as we can. However,
don't expect it to be nice.
Don't expect
We won't be picking any matte cars on the back to basics.
Sorry.
In fact, just going back to basics for a minute, people might not realise, but normally the cars we pick, I think sometimes people think we will have training cars to wash, but we basically... we've got everybody turns up. We're trying to pick two cars from all those.
Doesn't mean think you can all turn up with filthy cars.
No, that doesn't mean that. That's why we don't advertise it like that, because we can't do the full thing. No, but we do pick two cars, don't we? Yep. That's what we do.
Yeah,
we do. Clive will pick two cars.
Clive will be out on the car park first thing in the morning with his clipboards.
I will. I'll be taking you with me on.
We're gonna have to come up with new criteria though.
Judging
Matt, no.
Yeah.
Deity.
Well, yes. we have learned over the years different criteria to make sure that we're picking the right car and things like that.
Preferably non-refurbed wheel finishes. Because again, that's something else that you can never guarantee the quality of a wheel refurb.
No.
Yeah.
No. However good and safe products are, if that quality of the real wheel refurb's not great, then could pay the price, shall we say?
And all these kind of variables are the things that people don't realise when they're coming to detail valet a car.
I mean,
you've got to consider all these things before you just put the pre-wash on or the snow.
And this is the other thing, isn't it, as well? I think with, you know, why in-person training is better, because you can ask these questions.
Yeah, you can explain the answers, you know, and why, and
we can give you our experiences and, you know, things that have happened to us in the past, and, you know, if we've ever made any mistakes where something's become stained or damaged, and now that we know what, you know, what it was and what caused it.
Well, we all have, haven't we, Kev?
Everyone's made some sort of mistake at some point.
I mean, if you didn't make mistakes doing this kind of work, then you wouldn't learn anything.
No, you'd be denying yourself as well, I think.
Yeah, you'd just think, oh, it's easy. You wouldn't get anywhere.
In fact, you can even get complacent and make mistakes, can't you? When you are experienced, if you don't think about it and you don't do it properly, which is why we try.
Yeah, especially when you're like carrying out your checks and stuff. But having said that, you know, you can use the same product week in, week out on different cars and never have an issue with it until you get one particular car where one of the variables is different or something's changed, and that product that you found safe for all that time can cause you an issue. It can cause a stain or, you know.
Yeah.
And then you've then got to have the knowledge to know how to deal with that and how to rectify that, which, again, I think is where, you know, starting off with your basic training, so the back to basics, but then looking at doing a bit more in-depth stuff gives you that knowledge and that bit of confidence to think, well, actually, if something ever happened, at least I'd have an understanding of why that might have happened and how I can rectify it.
In a way, you're not learning kind of what to do. You're learning what to do when something goes wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the biggest part of the learning is what happens if something doesn't go the way I wanted it to.
Yep.
You know, There's more learning in that than there is in kind of maybe the kind of doing it right, if you like.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
It's all good.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Brilliant. So, training wise, we have back to basics, which is, let's just go through the bullet points. Group course.
Yep.
We have up to 18 people.
Yep.
It's held on a Saturday.
It is.
9 till 4. And it's normally the third weekend of the month.
Mid-month, I'd say.
And that is £60.
Yep. £60 for the whole day.
Fantastic price, especially for the, you know, the amount of time that obviously we invest into the course and the amount of things that we cover. Yep. You also get the opportunity to purchase things from the shop.
Yep, with a little bit of a discount. Yep.
Again, so that's really good. So if you do want to nip up, you know, especially if you're not local and you think, well, actually, I'm going to make a day out of it. You can spend your £60, you can get a decent day's course, some good information, and you can also, you know, take advantage of some discounted products.
So, and one of the most common feedback we get, particularly for people that are already, you know, used to washing their cars, is that they save the cost of the course just by realising they're overusing stuff.
Yeah, how little product you need to use. And that is another major thing, I think, that people take away is, you know, I didn't realise I only need to use X amount of...
Exactly.
Shampoo or X amount of pre-wash or whatever.
Oh, and they get a certificate as well, Kev.
And they get a certificate, yep.
And they get to meet us as well.
Yeah, they do.
Woohoo!
It's all positives.
It is.
So,
because you've backed out.
The only thing we can't guarantee is the weather, but apart from that...
Yes.
Yeah, we have had snow in April before now.
We have, yeah.
Prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
That was a cold day, that one.
Yeah, and what you've got to realise is, as we said, obviously the first half of the course is outdoors.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we are at the mercy of the elements.
Just get on with it. People do sometimes message me.
It's raining, you get wet.
If they know me, they might message me a few days before and say, might we cancel? We never have. We do get people that book hotels. We've had people fly to the UK to do it, believe it or not. So it would be an absolute last resort. Probably why we don't do the course in January and things like that. With the British climate changing, it's hard saying, you know, we go for the warmer months.
I mean, to be fair, January, the last couple of years, hasn't been too bad.
Oh, I know. It's
February and March.
It's usually March.
Causing the issues.
It's a curveball, isn't it? So.
Like you said, we saw snow in April once. Luckily, just a few drops, but it was flipping cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
For sure, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, if it rains, unfortunately, we're going to get wet.
That's it. So that's back to basics.
Yep. So one-to-ones, Mark. Let's have a quick... rundown on what people can book a one-to-one for. And
yeah, so I mean, one-to-ones, we market them, they're on the website, so we do a 1, 2, and a 3-day course, so that's a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced. So everything is explained on the website, what those courses cover. Again, if there's something that you're not sure of, just get in touch, drop us an email. If you want something bespoke to you, what you want to learn,
yeah, I was just going
to
say,
just get in touch and let us know, and we can tailor it to you. And if we say, well, actually, there's quite a lot there, we need to do 2 days, or actually, we can do all that in 1 day. So, yeah, just get in touch. It's priced per day, so we charge per person per day.
Yep.
So there's no kind of hidden costs or anything like that. And you'll either be with myself or Nathan.
Yep.
In the bay, so we've got, you know, plenty of experience between us both. We're always about, you know, you're always here as well if there's anything that's ever brought
unluckily
up that, you know, when we're not able to answer it.
Yep.
You know, so there's a vast amount of knowledge here, and there's so many people that have come and done courses. Like I say, people have just come and done courses to help them out at home. People have done it to go on to start a business. People have come and done it to improve their knowledge while they're running
current business. Yep.
So, you know, there's something for everybody.
We also get, we have had quite a few people where they work for somebody else and their employer has actually sent them for training.
Yeah, we've had that as well.
So Nate actually went down to Manchester, didn't he, and did some training with two guys.
Yes, that was the other year, wasn't it? That was before I came back, yeah. So, you know, we can tailor anything to suit. Just get in touch and, you know, we're here to help.
Cool. So, I mean, back to basics sorted, that was sorted. So, in general, and so in conclusion, I think, would you recommend training for everybody? If you've got an interest in anything to do with detailing, it is better to do a, you know, an in-person training course than it is to sit at home and watch hours and hours of YouTube videos.
I mean, I would always say yes, because I've always learned better from doing, not just watching. But there are people out there that just like to watch a video and you know, various people and kind of pick techniques. So that way, that's, you know, if that's your
choice. I think doing the research is good.
Yeah, if that's your choice, then that's fine. But I think with something that is hands-on, you need to go and get hands-on to be able to learn it and put it to practice. You know, and we've got people here that, you know, like I say, we've got experience. We know what we're doing. And
I suppose you've got to look at it. It's, you know, it is a little bit like a trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have a plumber or an electrician learn to do that job without actually getting hands-on with the tools.
I mean, as it stands at the moment, there isn't a kind of college course or a university course that's aimed at detailing or valeting, you know, but you never know. There may be in the future.
The closest one is body refinishing, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, you can do things like that.
Sanding and polishing,
which is more kind of body shop orientated, which is another level of finish.
Which would be good, because that way, when you then become a detailer, you know what to avoid doing when you're actually sanding and prepping and painting.
You've got both sides of the thing.
You can understand, so, I suppose, either side of the coin, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, it does take skill, and it does take time, and it does take years to learn.
Patience.
You know, I mean, I've been doing it for 7-8 years.
I call it a labour of love, Mark.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, it's not, you know, your point about, do you recommend one-to-one? The casual Sunday morning bucket, sponge, dry, probably not. But if you want to go beyond that, just some enthusiasm, that's where the practical bit, I think, comes in.
Yeah, and
you're enhancing your hobby, you're doing it better, you're enjoying it more, and all that sort of stuff, for relatively low cost, certainly compared to some hobbies anyway.
You know,
It's cheaper than golf.
It's definitely cheaper than golf.
More exciting than golf.
And you're talking about £2,000 for a bag of golf bats. So,
but you even think what people spend on a car. You know, if they like, you know, enhancing their car and, you know, doing upgrades.
I suppose you could, you could classify as an investment, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
And, you know, maintaining is supposed to be the second.
I was about to say it's the second biggest expense after your house.
Investment, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, so like we've said, I think I've done videos this year saying about things like machine polishing. You know, you're looking after an asset at the end of the day. You're holding the value of the vehicle. It's not just about, oh, it's been serviced. Yeah, but what about the finish? What about the care? And
you've got to keep it looking good, I suppose.
You know, you don't have a brand new fitted, fitted kitchen in your house and then don't decorate. You do the whole package, don't you?
Do it again.
This is the thing, you do the same with your car. You know, you have it serviced mechanically, but keep it looking nice as well and maintained, and it's gonna hold its value and potentially mean you can keep it for longer.
Definitely.
All good benefits.
Definitely.
I should be a salesman.
That's why I've got a 10-year-old SLK, because I can make it look new.
So thanks for listening, guys. So if you are interested in booking the Back to Basics course, you can go online. We also got a Back to Basics email, haven't we, as well?
We have, yeah. I think it's backtobasics@alterbright.co.uk, but I'm not 100% sure. It's so something like that.
It's on the Back to Basics listing on the website. So if you want to ask any information about the Back to Basics, you can get in touch with us.
Actually, I'm going to add one thing to that. If you book more than one place on the main page, you know, you can book, you book a place just like you buy a product, you know, 1, 2, 3 places, whatever you want. Although you can put some comments into it. If you forget, the Back to Basics email is handy, because just going back to what I mentioned, certificates, we obviously want that name before the day, because we can get certificates ordered and printed and all that good stuff. So just try and remember that, folks. But yeah, that email address is there, or any other questions about the Back to Basics, far away, and me and Kev will answer you
back
basically.
One-to-one courses, so they can get in touch through the website.
They can indeed.
Obviously, like you said, they can view the different preset packages on the website as well.
Yeah.
Can they call you and talk to you and ask you some questions?
If they really want to call us, yes. So they can call us on the main number.
Pick your brains.
Which is 01782 315
632.
Yay. I think it's option 2 for valeting and detailing. Yep. Or you can email us detailing@alterbrightdirect.co.uk.
And then we'll pick Mark and Nate's brains.
You can. Brilliant. Might not be there for very long, but yeah. So yeah, get in touch.
It'll be very quick.
Ask any questions. And there's also Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yep.
People can message in. And so yeah, however you wish to contact us, we are here.
Carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon, if you like.
Somewhere.
Airmail, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Cheers, guys. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you again on the next podcast.
Thanks very much. See you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Tune in next time to the Autobrite Direct podcast. Because looks are everything. Because looks are everything. Because looks are everything.